Well, good morning. It is good to be with you once again. I see some new faces out with us. We're so thankful you're here. As Jared mentioned, before you get out of here, we'd love to give you just a gift and some information about who we are as a church. But as I like to say every week, I can promise you we are by no means a perfect church. But we have the opportunity even this morning to serve a perfect God. Anybody excited to be here this morning? A couple of you are. I appreciate that. There is coffee. There's more coffee back there if you're still in that stage. But no. But in all seriousness, we have been walking through a sermon series entitled Life Apps, Life Applications. And kind of what stirred this particular topic on is something that God's been just speaking to me and challenging me and even breaking my heart over for quite some time. It's this idea of relationships and marriage and raising our kids and the culture that we live in, and how do we do that in a godly manner? Like how do we walk this out when the loud voice around us tells us to do it one way, when then we God's word says it to do another way? And this is something that we all struggle with day in and day out in our lives. And it's something that I believe that God wants to teach us. I believe it's something that God wants to heal many of us, heal our hearts and heal our marriages and our friendships or whatever it is that we are struggling with. I believe God wants to be a part of that. So maybe this morning our thought process is here. Maybe the understanding is here. What I want to do for the next few minutes is strictly, I want us to look at God's Word. I want that to be the basis that we speak. I want that to be the basis that we make choices. I want that to be the basis that we surround every single thing in our lives around. The first week we looked at Genesis chapter 1, and we just kind of laid the foundation of where did we even come from? Where did relationships start? And as it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse or the book of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning God created." And in verse 29 it says that God said all of His creation that it was good. That it was good. And then as He continues to create in verse 29 of chapter 2, it says that it's not good for man to be alone. And then He created woman out of man to complement so they can do life together. It's something that's a picture of who God is and His love for us. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, things change just a little bit. If you know the story at all, God said, "You have freedom to do and to say and to eat of this tree and to eat of that, but there's one rule. There's one thing that I do not want you to take part in. It is eating of the tree of the good of knowledge and evil." And as Satan comes on the scene, as the great deceptor comes on the scene, he tempts Eve with a question. And I believe it's the same question that challenges us and tempts us even today. And it's this: did God really say that? Did God really say that? And we made the statement in week one of this series is that we must know the Word of God so that we can answer that question in a way that honors God. Yes, God's Word says that. And my life is living proof. My marriage is living proof. I understand my kids are living proof. Yes, God's Word says that there is truth in His Word and there is a right way. And God wants the best for me. And there's a reason that He had fabricated these rules and these things that we should and should not do because He loves us. Just like a good parent would love their kids, we put those things into place to protect us because we know what's on the other side. And there's no one in this room that has been exempt from the hurt and the pain and the destruction. And we understand what's on the other side. Amen. Our relationships have been affected. because of this one thing that came in and it changed humankind forever, and it's that of sin. Did God really say that? This morning, as we dive a little bit deeper, we're going to be looking more in depth at marriage. God's design for marriage, how God views marriage, and the parameters that He has set for marriage. And I pray that God stirs our hearts and allows us to see, maybe even for the very first time, the significance of marriage and God's purpose for marriage. Maybe this morning you're sitting out there and you're single. All right? Maybe that's where you are this morning. I encourage you not to just to tune it out, all right? Because I believe the Word of God can speak truth into our lives and maybe change our prayer lives, that we would seek someone who is a complement, who loves the Lord as well, that could come into our lives and be all that God wants us to be for us. If we pray before we get started. Father, we come before you, Lord. Pray that you would humble me, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would give me boldness to speak the truth of the Word of God this morning. That your Spirit would speak and would be active in our lives this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I spent a good bit of time studying this week for this particular subject topic. And I'm kind of the guy that likes to kind of cram everything into one talk. And as I was studying, I was like, there is so much information here. There is so many things in God's Word that we're gonna take a couple of weeks to really walk this out and kind of get deeper and deeper. And I believe this is something that each and every one of us, including myself, needs to hear from God's Word this morning. If you will allow me, we're gonna revisit Genesis chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. This is really our first picture of marriage in God's Word. It says this, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. You see, God makes this statement and he proclaims this truth here. And then as we know in chapter 3, Satan comes on the scene and he asks the question, did God really say that? He was speaking specifically to the fruit, but it's the same question that you and I are challenged and tempted with every single day of our lives. Did God really say that? Did God really say that about marriage? Did God really say that this is the right way and this is the wrong way? And as we hear the voice of the world and the culture around us, there's some discrepancy there. Would you agree with that? There's some discrepancy there of understanding what God's Word says and what culture around us says about what marriage is and what it should be and what it looks like. I believe Satan is killing it in this department, and many of us have taken this lie to the point of defending and going against what God and His Word clearly call sin. I know that this is a hot topic in our culture, to the point so much that I got to be honest with you, I'm even nervous right now talking about it, feeling incredibly uncomfortable right now, but I believe it's something that we must discuss as a church. It's something that we must talk about as a church, because I have the understanding that I know many of us have not been taught the Word of God. Many of us have not been raised in a home with an understanding of the Word of God. And I want to be very honest about that. And I want to be very sensitive to that as well, because I know that many of us have had a fabrication, a misunderstanding of what marriage even looks like. And some of us have never seen a godly marriage. Some of us have never seen what a healthy marriage looks like. So I want to be so sensitive to that, because I know that each and every person in here has been or possibly can be affected by that. But I believe that we should not shy away from the truth of the Word of God. And I believe that our society, I believe our church, I believe our culture needs to understand what God's Word says. Did God really say that? A man should be united to his wife. Didn't God really say, this person could be united to this person of any gender, and it could be called marriage? I know this is such a hot topic, and it's something that we usually don't talk about in church, but I want us to see from God's Word what He says, not only about this, but also just marriage in general. And I want to be very clear as we walk this out. This is not an attack on any specific person or persons, but an all-out attack on sin and Satan's lie about relationships and marriage. Because sin brings harm. It brings shame, it brings pain, it produces guilt, and it produces emptiness in our lives. And my prayer is that God would stir our hearts toward holiness and godliness in marriage, that He would guard our hearts and minds from being deceived by the world's loud voice on this subject. I believe it's time for the church to stand on the Word of God and His truth. Romans chapter 5, it really levels the playing field for all of us. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. Romans 5, 8 and 19 says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. It's speaking as sin entered the world through Adam, and justification for our sins came through one man, Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many who were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. I love this, because sin has touched all of our lives. And Satan has fabricated sin in such a way. He has heightened some sins in such a way that we don't go there. In some sins, we all have sinned. Listen to this. This is what God's Word says. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all been separated from God. And something must take place for us to mend that relationship. And I love what Romans says here. It's Jesus who did that for us. It's Jesus who paid that price for us, so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father once again. Marriage. We've all heard that word many, many times. And some of us in this room are getting ready to be married. Some in this room are dreaming about one day getting married. Some in this room might have no desire at all to ever get married. And many in this room are married. The point is, marriage is something that has or will affect all of us at some point, either in a positive light or in a negative light. I want to throw this thought, this question to you before we get started this morning. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than He did to make us happy? We're gonna relook at that here in just a few minutes, but I want to throw that. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than He did to make us happy? You see, the talk of godliness and holiness in marriage, in my opinion, has never been more urgent. There never has been a generation whose view of marriage is high enough. The chasm between the biblical vision of marriage and the human vision is, and always has been, very, very large. And some cultures in history respect the importance and the permanence of marriage more than others. Some, like our own, have such a low, casual, take-it-or-leave-it attitude towards marriage as to make the biblical vision seem almost ludicrous to most people. I want to give you a challenge. I want you to go as you leave this place in a few minutes, and I want you to strike up the conversation of marriage and just see what kind of input that you get from friends or family members or those and all the different understanding of what marriage is and what marriage should be. And there's going to be times in our lives when we stand on the Word of God that you will be all alone. That we will be all alone in that. The world cannot know what marriage is without learning it first and foremost from God. There's two things I want to cover this morning just real quickly. You're thinking, Brandon, you do nothing quickly, all right? The first thing is this, the most foundational thing to see from the Bible about marriage is that it's God's doing. The second thing is this, the most ultimate thing to see from the Bible about marriage is that it is for God's glory. Let's tackle the first one real quickly. Marriage is God's doing. Marriage was God's design. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28, it says this. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." I love this. God says, you know what? You were created in the image of God. I want you to know that this morning. Because some of us get to the point in our lives where we feel worthless. We feel ugly. We feel disgusting because of the sin and the things around us. I want you to know that you and I were created in the image of God. And then He says, I want you to multiply. And then He says, I want you to fill the earth and I want you to subdue it. That word subdued is to take control of, to have authority, to have freedom, to live our lives under the lordship of who Christ is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I don't want you to miss this central point here. It says, God Himself will make a being perfectly suited for a man. This is God's doing here. This is all moving towards marriage. Actually, the first relationship that we see in God's Word is actually a marriage relationship, which is pretty interesting. That God is the one who created, the one who designed, the one who fabricated marriage and the life of mankind. The second thing we see is God gave away the first bride. Any movie takers here? Anybody ever seen the movie Father of the Bride? Anybody at all? Somebody were like, yeah, no, I haven't really. This makes me think of this. I get the opportunity to do a lot of weddings, all right? Get to be a part of a lot of people's lives and just hear their stories. And I love that part of just being able to serve in that capacity. And for some reason I have in my mind here, because it says here in Genesis 2, 24, that they're going to leave the mother and the father. All right, some of you are like, man, could you say that again? All right, I'm ready for my kids to get out of the house, okay? He's going to leave the mother and the father and be united, coming together with the wife and the husband. They come united as one flesh. Some of you are like, man, my kid's 30. I hope they stay forever. All right, I just hope my grandkids just stay in the house or whatever. And some of you are like, man, let's get them out. All right, it is time. It's time for them to grow up. How many of you have said that before? Come on. All right. One of you, thank you, Joan, for saying yes, all right? So here's the thing. It says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to be his wife. They become one flesh. This is, marriage is God's doing. Amen? Like God created marriage. He's the one who established marriage. From the very beginning, his desire and his heart was for a man and woman to be united. First, leave home. Okay, I'm totally all right. And then be united. And then have the freedom to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God gave away the first bride. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. I love this. It says, "And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into woman, and he brought her to the man." All right, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. All right, like she, anyway, whatever the situation is, he brought her, or God brought her to the man. This wasn't a hide and go seek type of thing. God brought her to the man. And she has been created in the image of God to be someone who can complement man and woman and all of their differences. Some of you are like, when you figure her out, let me know, all right? Marriage was God's design. God gave away the first bride. He didn't make Adam seek. He made her, then he brought her. He gave her to the man in the absolute, this new kind of relationship called marriage, unlike any other relationship in the world. Here's what God didn't do. He didn't say, "You guys test drive this for a little while. You guys try this thing out for a little while. And then we'll kind of come back together and see if it's a good fit and make sure that you guys are okay with it." And he didn't say, "You test drive them, you know, go live together and do your thing and make sure it's a good fit." No, what God's word says here is he says, if we do it the way of God, we know for sure. Know that you know that you know. And see, what the world says is no, you got to try it out. You got to do this, and you got to do that. You got to make sure that you're okay with the situation, rather than saying, "God, I want to seek you first. I want my life to honor you. I want my relationships, my dating relationships, I want them to honor you. I want my marriage to honor you. And so I want to live my life and I want to make choices that honor you first and foremost." Last week we said, you know what, for this to work, for us to live healthy marriages, for us to have God-honoring marriages, we must be committed to God first. You see, if we are committed to our loved one or our dating relationship or whatever it is, when she ain't happy, you ain't happy. But when we follow after the things of God and we make choices that honor God, even our relationships will be healthy under the lordship of Christ. But for many of us, that's all we know, and I want to be sensitive to that. You're like, "Brandon, I've never known anything different. This is the first time I have ever heard that before. That God actually has a purpose and a plan and a way that marriage and relationships should function. This is an awesome thing that God literally gives us the instructions of how it should look." Marriage was God's design. God gave away the first bride. And then God spoke the design and structure of marriage into existence. I started thinking about this. How do we learn things? usually someone teaches us. Let me throw this question out to you. Has there ever been a time that you learned something maybe at a younger age? As you develop and you grew up, figured out that what you have always been told really wasn't true? Anybody been there before? Or maybe what you thought to be true ended up not being true, or maybe it was fabricated in a way that was a little off, and as you grow up and as you seek God, or as you just mature in your age or whatever, as you have life acquisitions that take place, that you figure out, you know what? Wait a minute here. Like, I've always been taught, there's tons of illustrations that come to my mind. I've always been taught that this is true, and as I seek God, I figure out that, you know what, it's not. And for many of us, we're in that life expectancy right now. That we have grown up in a system or a situation, and we just didn't know. We've never had the model of what it looks like to have a godly family or a godly marriage. And that's my heart so much in this area, because each of us have been touched by brokenness. Every single person in this room have been touched by that. But how do we live our lives to honor God? And I just want you to know, maybe you've been there, maybe you are there. I just want you to know that God is a God of restoration. God is a God of hope. God is a God of wants to take our brokenness and make us whole, and to give us and make us into a new creation, even when it comes to relationships. Amen? Marriage was God's design. God gave away the first bride. God spoke the design of marriage into existence. And then God performs the one flesh union. There in verse 24, once again, it says, they shall become one flesh. We're going to dive a little deeper into this next week as it pertains to the physical, to the mental, and to the spiritual parts of becoming one flesh in marriage. We're going to have a lot of fun with that, all right? We're going to have lots of illustrations, totally kidding, all right? But we're going to dive into that. Like, what does that look like? To become one flesh. I love what Mark chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 says. It says, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. I love that he kind of says it again. Like, just in case you didn't hear it, like, I just want to break it down to you, okay? And the two will become one flesh, so they no longer are two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. You see, this is the idea of a continual giving of ourselves. Does anybody ever find it hard to always be on the same page with your spouse? Anybody? There's a couple of us that struggle with that. Thank you for your honesty, okay? I can look back. Been married now for 15 years. Some of you are like, that's nothing, all right? Praise God you've been married longer, all right? I can look back in every single situation of disagreement or a fight or whatever we want to call that argument, every single time it was stirred on and it was spurred on by selfishness. Every single time. 14 years ago, me and my wife had one of the worst fights we've ever had, and it was over leftover foods. I'm not kidding. I can go back and I can spell it out exactly what took place, and I'm still right. Okay, I'm totally kidding, all right? But now we can laugh about this, but if I'd have told you in the heat of the moment, I would not have thought that your laughing was very funny. You see, every single time that I stop making God the commitment in my life, every single time that I lose focus on Christ and His desire for my life, when you take one sinful person and put them in the household with another sinful person, they will sin against each other. Every single time. But God says, you know what, there's a better way. There's a better way. And some of us this morning, I'm just going to be honest, we're doubting that. we're doubting that. Because we have never experienced what it is to have a marriage that honors God. And I believe His desire is for your marriage to be that. God is the one who created marriage. God is the one who brings two people together in holy matrimony. He is the one who makes you one flesh. Which means it's not just me anymore. It's not just you anymore. Next week we're really going to dive into this understanding here. But this is so interesting to me because there's two relationships that are the most important. One is our relationship with Christ. It says when we come into a relationship with Christ, we're not our own anymore. God's word says that we were bought with a price, that we selfishly or unselfishly give ourselves to Him and make Him the Lord and Master of our lives. And when we come into a love relationship with Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, we are no longer ourselves. We have become one, and God is the one who does that. It's not the words that I say, you know, who gives this woman to be married to this man because of the state of Oklahoma and the power of God, you are now husband and wife, all right? That has no meaning. God is the one who does that. Marriage is from God, and it is for God, and it's for our pleasure. You see, God is wanting to strip away me and my selfishness and replace it with His selflessness. That's what the Bible talks about all the time, the word sanctification, a big word that basically just means God wants us to make us more like Jesus. And He wants our relationships, He wants our dating relationships, He wants our marriages to be in a place that glorifies God. So what if marriage was more about making us holy and less about making us happy? You see, the world knows and sees only a fabrication of marriage. Did God really say that? Didn't God really say this? And as Christians, many times we think and act like we don't know the answer. Which is one of the reasons the marriage in church is not seen as the wonder and majesty that God intended it to be. The most foundational thing we can see and say about marriage is that God designed it. Because He personally gave away the first bride in marriage. Because He spoke the design of marriage into existence. Leave your parents, cleave to your wife, become one flesh. Here's the truth of the Word of God. God is the one who defines marriage, period. We also see that marriage is for God's glory. You see, in Genesis 2:24, it really kind of asks or opens up some thought process for asking some questions. Many questions that many of us have walked through or maybe even have this morning. As He says, you're going to leave our father and mother and be united to His wife and they become one flesh. And some of you are like, what does that even mean? What does that look like? What are the boundaries there? What kind of relationship is this we might have? How can these two people be held together? Can they walk away from this relationship? Can they go from spouse to spouse? Is this relationship rooted in romance? Is it sexual desire? Is there need for companionship or cultural convenience? What is this? What exactly holds it together? This is the question that me and my wife have really dove into these last several years. And we've talked about this. And there's been moments. I got to be honest. There has been moments that we have been both at a point that I was driving her crazy so much. And then vice versa. If it wasn't God holding us together, it would have been so easy to walk out. If it wasn't for God holding us together, it would have been so easy to walk out. I want us to see here in Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to see how God sees and views marriage. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. Paul's writing here to the church of Ephesus, and they're having some struggles. They're having a hard time as it pertains to relationship and marriage. And he pretty much requotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Then he kind of takes it a step further, because the church is like, yeah, I don't know. This is what it says. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And their response is probably like, Paul, we've heard this before. And then he says in verse 32, this is a profound mystery. And some of us would say, yes, it is. I still have not figured it out, all right? And then he goes on to say, I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. In other words, marriage is patterned after Christ's covenant commitment to his church. Like, I've heard that before, and I've understood that before, but for some reason this week, it has impacted my life in such a way. Like, God's understanding of marriage, his impact of marriage, is so much greater than what I've ever thought. It's so much greater than what our world says, and many times even as the church says, that he relates the relationship between us and him. And his love is unconditional. He went to the cross on our behalf. He paid it all because of his love relationship for you and for me. We are actually known, as the Bible says, the bride of Christ. And so when I think about marriage, God is like, you know what? I would never walk out on you. I would never leave you. Yeah, I know that you're hard to get along with sometimes. He says that to me all the time, all right? But I love you. I agape love you. I love you unconditionally. There's nothing that you could say or there's nothing that you could do that could ever separate the love of Christ in our lives. And next week and the next few weeks, I understand there's stipulations here. Please hear me out. Please hear my heart here. But here's what our world says. You don't love each other anymore? Not a big deal. Things have changed. He's not the man he used to be. He used to buy me nice things, now he does nothing for me. She's not the same anymore. And here's what the world says. Just leave. Just leave. Just leave. And God's desire, I know this is so sensitive, this is so hard for me to talk about this. God's desire is to mend our hearts. And I know there are situations, please hear me, I know there are situations, and God's word even talks about this. There are situations. But I believe the world has made it so easy, way too easy for us to give up. And God said, it shouldn't be that way. You know how I love the church? You know the sacrifice that I have gone for the church? That is the same kind of sacrifice that you should have for your spouse. Because remember, you are now one. You're not enemies, you're teammates. And there is no better feeling than knowing that there is a husband or wife who loves you in a way, and you can walk out the good times and the bad times. That's God's desire for you and for I, but we must not lose focus that God has to be the first commitment in our lives. And I know that many of us, I've stumbled and I've fallen, and I get that, but here's the thing. God does not want to leave you broken. Please hear the message this morning. God wants to restore, and God has restored many of your lives, and now your life is a testament of what God has done in and through you this morning. So maybe this morning you're feeling hopeless. I want you to know that God is a God of hope. God is a God of joy and of restoration and mending and making new and making whole. Marriage is patterned after Christ's covenant relationship to the church. This is why marriage exists. I'd like to close with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. The wives are going to love this one, all right? Because this is what it should look like. It simply says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, I think the reason that what makes brokenness in marriage and through a marriage so heartbreaking in God's eyes is not merely that it involves covenant breaking with our spouse, but that it involves a misrepresentation of Christ and his covenant to the church. So here's my question as we close our time together. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than he did to make us happy? What if God's design was his love for us to bring two people who love the Lord, and yes, they're going to stumble and fall, and they're going to sin against each other. They're going to do things that hurt each other. They're going to get mad. They're going to argue over leftovers. They're going to do this. They're going to do that, and that. I can't speak this morning, but they're going to do all of these things, and God knew that. God knows that. But we must have an understanding as Christ followers that God has made a perfect way. God has made a better way than what many of us are experiencing right now. Because there's no greater joy. And I, by no means, have a perfect marriage. I can promise you that. But I have a wife that loves the Lord. And she knows that my desire is to honor God. And we still have problems and we argue and we disagree and we mess up raising our kids sometimes and making choices. And that's part of it. But we serve a gracious God. And I want to tell you, there is no better joy than knowing that your spouse loves the Lord. And you can walk that out in a fashion that honors him and have the joy and the peace and the comfort and all of those things in a relationship. I'm going to ask us to close our eyes as we close our time together. I know that this is an incredibly difficult discussion. I know that some of us are so wounded by a broken relationship. I understand that sin has brought so much devastation. And for some of us this morning, we don't even know. And we've almost got to the point where we've lost hope knowing that, God, are you sure there's a healthy way to this? Are you sure this is a good thing? Because all I have ever experienced is something that's been wrong and broken and devastating. My prayer for each and every one of us this morning is that we could ask the question, does our marriage, does even our dating relationship display God's glory. If you're anything like me, I would say some days, yes. Some days I struggle. Some days I'm not the man I need to be for my wife and for my kids, and I let them down. But God, listen, God is the one who brings it together. God is the one who brings and unites a husband and a wife. And God says, I know it gets rough, but just know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just know that I am in this for you, for your benefit, so that your marriage can exemplify Christ. Just want to encourage you this morning as we close. I just want to encourage you to spend some time with God this week, maybe this afternoon. Just share your heart with Him. Share your confusion with Him. Share your misunderstanding with Him. And I believe the Spirit of God will speak. God's Word says, you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I pray that God, maybe for the first time, gives you a renewed spirit, gives you more of an understanding of what it looks like to have a God-honoring relationship. Maybe for some of us, it's choosing something different. Maybe for some of us, it's being the leader in our home. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and we just, Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would continue, Lord, just to, Lord, speak to us, Father. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, Lord. I pray that you would use your word, God. Lord, without your word, we are nothing, Father. Lord, I am sorry if there's anything that I said, Lord, that it was not of you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would move in power and in love this morning, God. I pray as we leave this place, Lord, that we'll have conversations, Lord, that will stir one another on to be more like you. So, Father, again, we love you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.